I'm Bill Littlefield. Boycotts, baseball, and Taylor Swift. That's what we've got coming up right now on Three Stories You Should Know. I wonder if this is the week I get to be Charlie Pierce and shout sports. Anyway, my guests this time around are Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports and Claire McNear of The Ringer. Greetings and salutations to both of you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hello.
All right, I'm going to go first this week. The Women's Hockey World Championships are scheduled to begin in Michigan just 2 weeks from now. The defending champions may very well not be there. On Wednesday, the U.S. women's team announced that they would boycott the tournament because their attempt to negotiate a reasonable agreement with USA Hockey has gone nowhere for a long time. Women's hockey has been undervalued by USA Hockey for as long as I can remember. The stipends for the women are ridiculously low. There's been no attempt or virtually no attempt to market their success, even though they have won world championships and Olympic medals and everything else there is to win. 20 years ago, the U.S. women's soccer team publicized a struggle not unlike this one by boycotting a tournament, but it was not a world championship. It wasn't the Olympics. Maybe that's why nobody remembers it. Short of boycotting the Olympics, this really is a dramatic move, and I say good on these women. Some things, equal treatment, equal opportunity, for example, are more important than any hockey tournament, and I'm going to assume neither of you believe women shouldn't get equal pay, but how do you see this issue playing out across sports?
I got to say that it's not even about the money. It's obviously equal pay is a very important concept, but it's not like the men's team is driving a profit for USA Hockey or in soccer or anything else. There's no economic argument for treating them the way they've been treated. And if you look beyond just the money that they're paid, they weren't involved in a lot of public announcements during the Sochi Olympics. They are routinely left off of lists of champions and things. And while America's fascination with international hockey pretty much begins and ends with 1980, they have been far more successful, the women have, than the men. And it's been beyond insulting, and I'm glad they're boycotting. I think it's wonderful.
Claire, do you like the idea of a boycott, or do they hurt the game by doing this? And I'm really playing devil's advocate when I say that.
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's, you know, they're using the leverage that they have, and it's the reason why we're talking about it right now. But what's absurd to me is if you look at what they've been saying, you know, they're not even getting paid for what they're doing right now. They say that they get paid for the 6 months leading up to the Olympics, and that's it. That's the only time that USA Hockey
And it's $1,000 a month.
Right, yeah. Right. So, you know, an eighth of the time they get paid, and the boycott just kind of takes on another color when you think about it that way. It's absolutely absurd.
I still hope they play in the tournament. I want USA Hockey to cave, concede that all their demands are completely just, and then, by golly, let them go win the world championship. That's what I'd like to see. Craig, you're up next.
Well, let's keep it international, and here's an international competition that maybe people care about more, but maybe not, and we certainly have less success in it in the United States, and that's the World Baseball Classic, which is currently raging on in various locations around North America, Central America, South America, and parts unknown. This week, Adrian Gonzalez, one of the bigger stars to play in the World Baseball Classic, the Dodgers first baseman and the Mexican team first baseman, just ripped the WBC, the concept and the execution, saying that the WBC is trying to be the World Cup, but it's worse than Little League. It's, you know, Adrian Gonzalez is angry this week because Team Mexico was probably shafted a little bit based on some dumb rules in their round-robin tournament in which they were eliminated. But he does raise a question about the WBC, its legitimacy, and whether people even care. It's popular, generally speaking. It gets decent ratings in other countries this year. Its TV ratings are a little bit better, even though most games are played in the wee hours of the morning or late at night. And the United States has never won this thing, so American baseball fans have had a very mixed reaction to the WBC in general. The question that happens every 4 years then is, what's the point? Is it worth doing? And it's one of those rare things in sports where I think you have to say it doesn't matter, but it's still worth doing. We are so binary when it comes to sports, especially professional sports. If it's not glory and wonderfulness, it's not worth doing at all. The WBC doesn't change anything. It's more interesting than the spring training games going on. It's fun to watch a game in the moment. We're going to forget who won the thing by mid-April, but I think we still do it. And if anything, it's weird to see such passion from someone like Adrian Gonzalez in it. But it's probably good, even though it's a very flawed tournament.
Well, I get the sense that Major League Baseball kind of wants the World Baseball Classic to be sort of a sandbox for baseball, and that, which has some good things and some bad things, and the sort of rule thing that happened with Adrian Gonzalez that he's so angry about was the result of them changing the rules on tiebreakers this year. They're sort of experimenting with different iterations and maybe didn't land on the best one, but they're playing with things. And obviously that leads to some outcomes like this one. But also, I have not had the pleasure of attending them, but it seems like these games are just a ton of fun, and they're maybe more fun than your typical MLB fair. They've got the bat flips and the crazy mascots and rabid fans that you would almost never see at a major league park during the midst of the season. So I don't know. I think it's about trying to strike a balance between those two.
All right, Craig, you mentioned the word popular, and Claire, you mentioned the word fun, and I'm in favor of fun. And I also think that nobody pays attention to baseball in Israel or baseball in Italy at any other time except when this tournament is going on. So I'm all for it.
I'll just say that I went to a 2013 World Baseball Classic match between the United States and Mexico in Phoenix, Arizona. And because I am the guy that I am, I put on a Mexico hat, a Mexico shirt, and I rooted lustily against my native country and had a few beverages and sat with the Mexican fans. And it was the most fun I have ever had in a baseball stadium. And I've been to multiple World Series games. So viva fun.
All right. It's time for me to establish my pop culture creds now. So let's shake off those last two topics, Claire. And what sort of trouble do you have for us?
All right, I'm going to start you guys with a big what if, and that is, what if Taylor Swift decides who wins the World Series? I know, it's crazy. It's crazy, but there is a weird amount, a mysterious amount, I would say, of evidence to suggest that maybe her records have magical baseball powers. She grew up in Pennsylvania, but the Phillies offended her in 2008, and then they lost the World Series the next year. Then she moved on to the Giants, and in the fall of 2010, 2012, and 2014, she released an album. And weeks later, every time, the Giants won their first, second, and third albums. Sorry, excuse me. They won their first, second, and third World Series since moving to San Francisco in the 50s. But the Giants' even-year streak ended last year. And I think the signs now suggest that she's thrown her weight, such as it is, behind the Astros. Her only show scheduled for the entirety of this year was last month in Houston. Mm. Houston Astros is 13 letters long. She's shown an affinity for the number 13. There's an Astros cap hidden in the music video of Bad Blood. Ooh. So what I'm saying is, put all your money on Houston.
Her last album was called 1989. That was the year the Giants won the pennant, too. So I think that's probably worth thinking about a little bit.
I don't know that you're right about that.
I think I started off thinking about this as a joke, but maybe not joking anymore.
If we're going to talk about influential singers having something to say about who wins the World Series, I'd just like to point out that Bob Dylan is 75 years old. 7 minus 5 is 2. 2 years ago, Kansas City won the World Series. Bob spelled backwards is Bob. Whoa. And Dylan is Nellid. So the Cubs will repeat unless the University of Connecticut women's basketball team enters the American League, in which case they'll win the World Series.
I'm sold.
That's rock solid.
You've convinced me.
I have to tell you, I get a lot of people asking me about who they should place wagers on in baseball. This is the time of year people put a lot of prop bets on what team is going to win the pennant and all that sort of thing. And my response to them always is, you're a moron. Don't bet on baseball. It is completely unpredictable. The fates of any one game are beyond our comprehension. So you know what? I am willing to believe that Taylor Swift controls baseball because that would be more logical than what actually seems to control it.
I can't wait to see the listener response to this theory. My guests for this week's three stories you should know have been Claire McNear of The Ringer and Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. Thanks to both of you and, of course, to Taylor Swift as well. Have a good week.
Thanks again.
I'm going to let you finish, Bill.